introduce our speaker, which is Chase Key from Holden.
Yeah.
Hey y'all, I'm Chase, I'm an addict.
Hey Chase.
Hey, first off, I just want to thank the subcommittee for everything they did to make this possible. If you've never served on it, there's a lot that goes into this, and we just kind of get to show up and leave as we please, and everything's set up and ready to go. So if you see somebody who is on the subcommittee or somebody being in service, please say thank you to them. So the topic's the clarity statement, and I appreciate Tony giving me about the most controversial topic that controversy is a spiritual principle, right? It's the one I excel at. So I'm going to probably really bore you at the beginning of this and quite possibly bore you at the end of it. But I really, I think it's important to kind of understand where this comes from people who can word it a lot better than I can. And so I'm going to read out of the Bulletin 13 from the World Service Boards. It says, this article was generated by the World Service Boards of Trustees in November of 85 in response to the needs of the fellowship. This bulletin was revised during the 95-96 conference year. The question of just how Narcotics Anonymous relates to all other fellowships and organizations is one which may generate controversy, or is that spiritual principle, within our fellowship. In spite of the fact that we have a stated policy of cooperation, not affiliation with outside organizations, confusion remains. One such sensitive issue involves our relationship to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Letters have been received by the World Service Boards of Trustees asking a variety of questions about this relationship. Narcotics Anonymous is modeled after Alcoholics Anonymous. Nearly every NA community in existence has leaned to some degree on AA in its formative stages. Our relationship with that fellowship over the years has been very real and dynamic. Our fellowship itself sprang from the turmoil within AA over what to do with the addicts knocking on its doors. We look at our roots for some perspective on our current relationship to AA. Bill W., one of AA's co-founders, often said that one of AA's greatest strengths is its single-minded focus on one thing and one thing only. By limiting its primary purpose to carrying the message to alcoholics and avoiding all other activities, AA is able to do that one thing supremely well. The atmosphere of identification is preserved by that purity of focus, and alcoholics get help. From very early on, AA was confronted by a perplexing problem. What do we do with all the drug addicts? We want to keep our focus on alcohol so the alcoholic hears the message. But these addicts come in here talking about drugs, inadvertently weakening our atmosphere of identification. The steps were written. The big book was written. What were they supposed to do? Rewrite it all? Allow the atmosphere of identification to get blurry so that no one got a clear sense of belonging. Kick these dying people back out into the streets. The problem must have been a tremendous one for them. When they finally studied the problem carefully and took a stand in their literature, the solution they outlined possessed their characteristic common sense and wisdom. They pledged their support and a spirit of cooperation, not affiliation. This far-sighted solution to a difficult concern paved the way for the development of Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship. But still, the problem that they wished to avoid would have to be addressed by any group that tried to adapt, say, AA's program of recovery to drug addicts. How do you achieve the atmosphere of identification so necessary for surrender and recovery if you let all different kinds of addicts in? Can someone with a heroin problem relate to someone with an alcohol or marijuana value problem? How will you ever achieve the unity that the first tradition says is necessary for recovery? Our fellowship inherited a tough dilemma. For some perspective on how we handled that dilemma, one more look at AA history is helpful. Another thing Bill W. frequently wrote and spoke about was what he called the 10 strike of AA, the wording of the 3rd and 11th steps. The whole area of spirituality versus religion was as perplexing for some as the unity was for us. Bill liked to recount that the simple addition of the words, as we understood him after the word God, killed that controversy in one shot. An issue that had potential to divide and destroy AA was converted into the cornerstone of the program by that simple turn of phrase. As the founders of NA adapted our steps, they came up with the 10 strike of perhaps equal importance. Rather than converting the first step in a natural, logical way, we admitted that we are powerless over drugs. They made a radical change in that step. They wrote, we admitted that we are powerless over our addiction. Drugs are a varied group of substances, the use of any of which is but a symptom of our disease. When addicts gather and focus on drugs, they are usually focusing on their differences, because each of us used a different drug or combination of drugs. The one thing that we all share is the disease of addiction. With a single turn of a phrase, the foundation of Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship was laid. Our first step gives us one focus, our addiction. The wording of the step one also takes the focus off of our powerlessness of the symptom and places it on the disease itself. The phrase powerless over a drug does not go far enough for us in recovery. The desire to use has been removed, but powerless over addiction is as relevant to the old timer as it is the newcomer. I'm going to stop there because there's a whole bunch more to read. But it kind of gives you a background on what brought up this dialogue, in my understanding, in the fellowship. There's also an excerpt from the basic text. It's on Roman numeral 15, I believe. I ain't great with Roman numerals. But it says, the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous as adapted from AA are the basis of our recovery program. We only have broadened their perspective. We follow the same path with the simple exception our identification as addicts is all-inclusive with respect to any mood-changing, mind-altering substance. Alcoholism is too limited a term for us. Our problem is not a specific substance. It's a disease called addiction. We believe that as a fellowship, we have been guided by a greater consciousness and are grateful for the direction that has been enabled for us to build upon a proven program of recovery. So the most common clarity statement that I'm familiar with, and as I've gone to various meetings that use the clarity statement, it's we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is somehow separate from the rest, requiring special recognition. And so I'm going to bounce it kind of through some different stuff in the basic text and kind of tie it all in with what that means to me at the end. So I want to bounce over to Tradition 6 on page 67. Y'all didn't know you were coming, you know, to a preaching ceremony. If everybody could turn their hymnals, please, to page 67.
Amen.
So it talked about, in that bulletin, making sure that we separate ourselves as a very distinct fellowship, because at this point there are hundreds of 12-step fellowships, and it can get really confusing. If you came in here by way of a treatment center, it can get really confusing. You'll read half readings from one, half from another. People are yelling all kinds of crazy shit during the readings. You don't even get to hear them. There's speakers coming in telling you about you can have a God of your own understanding, and then somebody else comes in the next night and tells you to believe in a different God that you have to believe in. And it gets really confusing, and it's very important that we separate ourselves. And it talks about that in the sixth tradition. It says, Tradition 6, an NA group, I'll never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And in that chapter in the basic text, it says, an outside enterprise is any agency, business venture, religion, society, organization, related activity, or any other fellowship. Most of these are easy to identify, except for the other fellowships. Narcotics Anonymous is a separate and distinct fellowship in its own right. Our problem is addiction. The other 12-step fellowships specialize in other problems, and our relationship with them is one of cooperation, not affiliation. The use of literature, speakers, and announcements from other fellowships in our meetings constitutes an implied endorsement of an outside enterprise. If you don't know the difference between direct and implied endorsements, get it back to the basic study guide, get in the basic text. It'll kind of break that down for you. Get a dictionary, look up the words. That's how I kind of came to understand that. And so basically what it is saying is there is a direct language, and I know I ain't the guy to talk to about what it was like before we had our own literature. There were six editions of the basic text before I got clean. But I do remember very vividly, I had a sponsee brother that came in the rooms, and he was sober as fuck every meeting. And I remember my sponsor telling him, hey, I want you to start reading the basic text, and I want you to highlight every time it says sober in the basic text. Well, it got him to read the book, but he didn't find anywhere to highlight the word sober. You know, and so as we developed our own identity, you know, we have to be grateful for our predecessors in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we wouldn't be here without them. But as we got to the point where we grew and we got our own formal literature, there was a very structured language that was used in that book, you know. And we talk about clean, and we talk about being in recovery, and we don't talk about being sober or having sobriety. And I came in the rooms being clean and sober as fuck too. I was a junkie, I was a crackhead, whatever I could identify myself as, except for I wanted y'all to see me, and I wanted to stand out, and I didn't just want to say, hey, I'm chasing, I'm an addict, you know what I mean? And so I learned that lesson early on, and it was the way my sponsor learned it and his sponsor learned it, we come from a long line of people who take that stuff very seriously, and they weren't exactly kind at telling you not to say those things. So basically told, shut the fuck up, we're clean, and it's, don't say that shit, it's embarrassing, you're embarrassing me. You know, because I love to tell everybody when I got a sponsor, who my sponsor was, that shit's fucking embarrassing, quit saying that. You know, so I learned that lesson early on, but I didn't even really know why. It took me years down the road before I actually listened to other people with more experience and kind of studied this on my own, why it is so important. And I could read the words and I could talk to other people and they could tell me why it was important, but I had to kind of internalize that and find that own passion for it for myself. I'll get into some of that a little bit later. Like I said, Tony gave me a controversial topic because there are some people who are not exactly fond of the clarity statement. And there's a lot of kind of arguments I've heard against it. And one of the main ones I heard thrown up over this, I don't know if any of y'all have ever done this, but we weaponize the traditions. And I love when somebody tries to do that because I'm going to, you know, turn that shit right back. Working on not doing that. But so in tradition 4, you know, it talks about our group autonomy. It says each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. So autonomy means self, you know, self-governing. We have the right to choose what we do as a group. Our group gets to choose. But on page 63 in the basic text in tradition 4, it says a Narcotics Anonymous group is any group that meets regularly at a specified place and time for the purpose of recovery, provided that it follows the 12 steps and 12 traditions in Narcotics Anonymous. That part right there is really important. Provided that it follows the 12 steps and 12 traditions in Narcotics Anonymous. If you flip over to the next page on page 64, still in tradition 4, it says, it would seem that we, in our groups, can do whatever we decide, regardless of what anyone says. This is partly true. Each group does have complete freedom, except when their actions affect other groups or NA as a whole. Like group conscious, autonomy can be a two-edged sword. Group autonomy has been used to justify violation of the traditions. If a contradiction exists, we have slipped away from our principles. And the thing that I have learned about the spiritual principles of this program and about the traditions of this program is they're never in conflict. So if I'm directly or implied endorsing another fellowship, then I have overstepped the bounds of autonomy. And I'm no longer getting, as a part of a group, allowing us to develop our own identity, I'm now violating the traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. It's very important to me, and in my opinion, the fellowship as a whole, is that we take that seriously on a group level, and we do follow the traditions. Because this fellowship's only as strong as many groups as we have. You know, and that's, man, I can argue about fourth tradition all day long, and I can justify why we can do whatever the fuck we want to do. But these were developed a long time ago, and they work, and no matter how bad I want to manipulate them, the words are there in black and white, you know. Let's see. Oh, another thing, and my sponsor could tell you this a lot better than me, but another argument here, well, it's not approved by World Services. And he loves to point out to people, it don't matter if it's fucking approved by World Services or not, it's got to be approved by the fellowship. And so while they're right, it is not approved by anyone. Please get it right. If you're going to come at me with an argument, let me know that it ain't fellowship approved. So just want to throw that in there because that's something, you know, I had to learn the service structure and how approval comes. Let's see. So like it talked about earlier, it talked about NA, we don't concern ourselves with a specific substance, you know. And I know you can find some dictionaries that have 10,000 definitions for each word, but my understanding and the way that I learned it, and I have looked it up in the dictionary, talking about the word sober, it means abstaining from alcohol, you know. And when I identify myself as an addict and alcoholic, I'm concentrating again once on a substance. And I don't know if y'all are like me, but I went to treatment a lot of times to get off of a specific substance. I had no plan on getting off all of them because I had a really short-term memory and I only had a problem with the one that I was using most recently. And generally, my solution to getting off that substance was to get another substance involved. It was fucking magical. I had it all figured out. So on page 9 in the basic text, and what is the NA program, it says we're not interested in what or how much you used, who your connections were, how much or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. So I don't need to introduce myself and tell y'all that I have a problem with alcohol, or that I'm an alcoholic, or that I have a problem with heroin, or that I'm a crackhead. The word addict covers all of that. It's a giant umbrella. And I have, again, like I said, this isn't shit I came in the room is magically fucking knowing. Like I told, I got to be told by my sponsor that I was fucking embarrassing him and to quit saying that shit. And it, you know, I was like, okay, yes, sir. But then I had to go back and put the pieces of what, you know, together as to why. And if you guys know him, you would, that would make sense to you. So also want to talk about the first tradition really quick. Let's see. So it says our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon NA unity. So when I'm trying to separate myself by substance use, where I'm from, whatever the case may be, I cannot contribute to the unity of Narcotics Anonymous. That goes down to the literature we use, how our meetings are set up. And like I said, there is that degree of autonomy that comes into groups, and we can choose how we do it. And in my opinion, the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous is as strong as it is because every group does have its personal identity. I don't know if you've done a lot of asphalt recovery, but every time I would fucking hate it when I start resenting my home group members and I'm tired of fucking seeing them 5 days a week and I go out of town. If I walked in a meeting and it was exactly like that with the exact same atmosphere and the exact same people saying the exact same shit, like, I probably would be going somewhere where I could be fucking sober just to get away from y'all for a little while. And so it's very important. You know, it talks about our differences making us stronger. You know what I mean? And so we get to envelop that with, you know, I promise you, if you go even as far as going from a meeting in Homewall to a meeting in Knoxville, it's completely different. You know what I mean? But as long as the 12 steps and the 12 traditions are followed and we are following those guidelines, it's the Narcotics Anonymous meeting and I can find a solution there. I don't have to separate myself by the language I use or any of that. You know, I can walk in and I can still feel welcome and it's still consistent despite the differences, right? It talks about in our symbol that the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. Well, in my opinion, you know, only a unified base can provide the true foundation where I can get to the highest point of freedom that this program has to offer. If we're bickering with each other and looking for the differences and trying to find a way on a personal level where I set myself aside from y'all, like I said, do all those things because the way I look, the way I talk, where I'm from, what substances I used, and I have to find, you know, it's funny, in the Back to the Basics in the sixth step, it talks about how have I been rebellious today? How have I acted out on rebellion? And I would love to come in and use fucking different language than y'all just because I fucking can. You can't make me not do it. And that is me being selfish and self-centered and look at me and bucking the system and not wanting to align and be a part of that unity, right? In the guiding principles it talks about in the first tradition, it's talking about unity, but how do I act out on unity on a personal level? Unity is a group of people, right? So what do I do with myself to act out on unity? It's integrity, you know? And I do the right thing for the right reason. So I come in and I buy in and I contribute to that unity by not trying to act out on rebellion and by following the line and respecting the things that have been laid out for me by my predecessors, right? Let's see. I'm trying not to lose my thoughts here. I'm going to talk a little bit about myself and what the clarity statement means to me today. You know, I don't know if y'all can relate, but when I came in here, I had an identity crisis. And I could not relate to y'all. I was no stranger to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous when I got clean this time. I'd been in and out of 12-step meetings for probably a decade. And I had these two little scapegoats that I always used. And one of them was, I'm just a different type of addict. I'm not like y'all. And early on, what that meant to me was, man, y'all are fucking IV drug addicts and y'all been homeless and y'all been stealing from your families and shit. Like, I ain't that type of addict. I ain't nothing like y'all. And as the years went by, more treatment centers, more little 30-day stints in 12-step fellowships, slowly I was that addict, but I was no longer that addict I was before. So, man, you in here for fucking smoking weed? Your mom caught you drinking a six-pack and you're in a fucking meeting? Like, I ain't like you, bro. Like, you ain't even been there. You know what I mean? And so I'd always find that scapegoat and I would look at the differences, right? I would act out of rebellion. I would refuse to relate to the people around me. Another thing, one of my little scapegoats was the God word. I was like, these motherfuckers are going to tell me I got to believe in God and I ain't about it. But as I really was desperate enough to sit down and listen to the words in our literature and the words in our step and what other people had to say, they said a God of my own understanding. They said I had complete freedom to choose what I believed in. And I said, motherfucker. You know, it talks about the promise of the program is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose desire, and find a new way to live. I said, well, motherfucker, I'm willing to admit I'm an addict. I'm just not that kind of addict. And then y'all fucked it up and said, any addict. I said, well, there, that one's out, you know. And then y'all said I could choose to believe in whatever I wanted to believe in, whatever that was. I was like, fuck, trapdoor number two, gone. You know, and there were a couple lessons I had to learn in that, and some things that I learned very early on that I think gave me any opportunity to be successful in recovery. So equality. You know, I always talk about I learned to practice the 12th tradition well before I even knew what the fucking 12th tradition was. I heard the steps enough in treatment, but by the time, you know, there's a lot of fucking readings, by the time we got to the tradition part of it, I was spaced out. Fucking, I wasn't even present, so I never really listened. Plus, there's some big words in there I wasn't willing to look up. But I had somebody tell me, and I was talking shit. It was later on, and I was like, who is this little motherfucker in treatment because he got caught smoking a dime bag, you know what I mean? And I had a guy tell me, he said, man, if that motherfucker has a problem and he's here trying to get help, how's he any different than you are? I was like, man, that makes a little bit of sense. He's like, do you want him to go through all the shit you went through? I said, no, that kind of fucking sucked. He said, well, yeah. Maybe treat him the way that you want to be treated so he doesn't have to go through that. And it doesn't matter what his problem is, and that goes back to it doesn't matter what our substance we used was, how we used it, where we're from, how long we've been doing it. None of that shit fucking matters. The word addict is all-inclusive. Not a bad addict, a good addict, which I've had a conversation last night. I've seen some bad acts. They're just not good at what the fuck we do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, poor motherfuckers. They can't get away with nothing. But it's all inclusive. You know what I mean? And I had to understand that. And I had to realize that it takes y'all to save my life. And it takes me being just a little part to save your life. And if I'm looking at the differences, and you don't see all those guys coming in. I'm from East Tennessee. I'd be with guys from West Tennessee, all over the place. We did not run in the same areas. But then I would listen to what they truly had to say. And when you push all those differences aside, we've all felt the same thing, and that's the same pain. And we're there for the exact same reason. And so I had to learn to see myself and every other person sitting in a room, no matter what got us there. And that's part of that anonymity, right? That's part of that equality. There's no big eyes. There's no little U's. You know, and my brother Bobby actually pointed out something to me that made a lot of sense. We would always say the highest, when people are sharing on the 12th tradition, the highest title you can get in here is clean. He came up to me one day and said, I've been thinking about that. He said, that's fucking bullshit. He said, the highest title you can get in here is addict, because we may not be clean when we walk in, and they're no lesser than we are. And that shit fucking stuck with me, man. And that's part of why I had to buy in and not look about, not have to set myself apart because I think I'm fucking different. I mean, I may be different in some ways, but like I said, I can turn that into assets, and that's what makes us stronger. But as far as the disease of addiction goes, I'm no different than anybody sitting in this room. You know, I suffer from that ego disease, and I always joke around about it, how fucking insane this sounds. But, you know, I was the biggest piece of shit in the world, but I was also better than all y'all at the exact same time. Like, what the fuck? When you say it out loud, it's like, God, just the pure insanity of my thinking. You know what I mean? But I think that was my first dose of humility. And a way that kind of came to me is there's a guy I was using with at the end on the street, and he sat with me through a very terrible night where I was thinking about doing some really terrible things and talked about how he wanted something different in life. And it's that, you know, one addict helping another is without parallel. And even though we were still using, I could relate to somebody. And that sense of hopelessness was gone because I knew somebody else felt the way that I did. And about my third week in treatment this last time, I found out he had just got out of jail, and he picked up for the last time. And that dose of humility came through pain, and I realized I had an opportunity that he never got. And when I see those people in the room that I want to separate myself from by language, whatever it is, I have to remember this may be my last chance and their last chance to get that opportunity that these other people are dying wishing they got. And, you know, that leads me into the next thing that I said, kind of I had to learn to lay the groundwork, and I'll tie it back in to the clarity statement. How many of y'all been to treatment? Some people not raising their hands. Y'all ain't real addicts. Shit. No. So the first thing I've ever done in any treatment center I've ever been to is, what's the first thing you do in the morning? Gratitude. Absolutely. So I had to learn what the fuck gratitude was. I had to learn the meaning of the word. And I had to learn the feeling associated with the meaning. And I had to learn that it was an action word, and I had to learn to show with my actions, you know. And I don't know, like I said, if y'all been to treatment, you hear every morning, man, I'm so grateful for this treatment facility. I'm so grateful I got a bed to sleep in. I'm so grateful I get 3 trays a day. And then the motherfucker wouldn't make the bed. They'd break all the rules at the treatment center, and they'd bitch about how small the trays were, the things that they were so fucking grateful for, you know. And I had a temporary sponsor when I was in treatment. He said, hey, I want, you know, I called him. I was like, man, I'm having a lot of trouble getting stuck in my head, you know, I don't know what to do about it. He said, I got 2 things for you to do. 1, go do something nice for somebody else and don't expect anything in return. He said, go get somebody a cigarette who doesn't ask for it. I blew through a fucking carton in like 3 days. Like, I gotta find some other way to do something nice. You know, I was hustling coffee just to get them back. lack of gratitude, breaking rules. Next thing he told me, he said, I want you to write a 20-item gratitude list. And I said, man, that shit's easy. I rattle off 20 things every morning. He said, all right, here's the catch. Out beside each thing you say you're grateful for, I want you to write how you're going to show with your actions today you're grateful for it. My gratitude list got real fucking short when I truly got honest with myself. But that laid the groundwork for the foundation of what my recovery is built on today. And I try, to the best of my present ability, to show with my actions that I'm grateful for things. What that means to me, like I said, I adopted the language of the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous because my sponsor told me I was embarrassing. But through the process of that, it made me, you know, I want to figure out the why. I don't know if y'all are like me, but the reason I started working steps and the reason I was so gung-ho writing that 4-step is I wanted to know why the fuck I am the way that I am. I needed the fucking answers. And so when I was told by a guy I respected that I was fucking embarrassing, I wanted to fucking know why, you know? And I was going to find some shit I was going to throw back at him, you know? I was hitting him with a counter. But it came down to gratitude, because the longer I stayed here, I developed a passion for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And part of the way that I show that I am grateful is those things I was told early on. I'll be of service to others without expecting anything in return. And I show I'm grateful with my actions. And I use the language of the fellowship that was laid out by my predecessors, because I am grateful for the blood, sweat, and tears that they put in to giving us this program, to giving us this literature. You know, and like I said, that person that came in that's no greater than and lesser than any of us, who walks into their first meeting, who's still high and desperate and looking for a way out, I want to carry a clear message to that program, and I don't want to confuse the shit out of them. I don't want to have them come in off the streets after shooting dope and talk about my problem with alcohol and them not be able to relate. Because I am to the point today where I can relate to y'all. I don't give a fuck what you've done, where you've came from. But talk to me at 20 days clean, and I could not do that. And so I don't want to put somebody in the situation I was in. And that's how I show my gratitude for the program, and that's why I've adopted the language of the program. Plus, I ain't trying to get told I embarrassed anybody again, you know. But seriously, for me, it's a simple respect thing. And JW, I said, fuck, why the fuck am I doing a workshop? JW knocked it out in 7 words and was, I don't know if he's as eloquent about it. But the thing is, I learned from a long line of people who are passionate about the program in Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm grateful for that. Have a very strong sponsorship family who take this program very seriously. Not only do they take it seriously, they live it fucking seriously. It shows in everything they do. And so I was told early on, come with us and do what we do. And so the guys I looked up to and the guys who became like family to me today, that's what they did. They are not clean and sober. They are not alcoholics and addicts. And I want what they have, so I do what they do. And the title addict is fucking good enough for me today. It went from being something I was ashamed of to a badge of honor to today just being good enough because I know who the fuck I am. There's no stronger force in the world than a recovering addict. I was told in treatment, I said, I don't know what it, my counselor said, I don't care what it is you do, I don't care if you're a musician, you're a carpenter, you're a writer, whatever it is you do, you're really fucking good at it. You're the best. And we can take being the best, put it into recovery, and get together as a group of people, and we have the fucking power to change the world. But I have to contribute to the unity of that, right? And I have to get out of that mindset of separating myself from y'all and realizing I don't have to fucking be special. I don't, you know, they have yet to hang one of my steps in the Step Work Hall of Fame. There's yet to be a picture of me doing service work posted on an NA bulletin. So all that shit's out the window. You know, the program guards me from my own fucking ego as long as I'm willing to buy into it and I show that gratitude and I do what the people before me did. You know, so I want to talk about the challenges for me of the clarity statement. And early on, it was to go up to people and do what was done to me and say, cut that shit out, you're fucking embarrassing me. I don't even know why they're embarrassing me yet, but it's what was told to me. You know, and it's amazing. You know, I came into my home group at a very, very interesting time where we were that rogue group who manipulated the fourth tradition and we did whatever the fuck we want. And luckily, when I came in, there was already a group of people who were trying to understand the traditions and make sure we were abiding by the traditions. But man, I came into a time where we were not kind about people not using the right language. And our love language anyways is to be just absolute dickheads to each other. Like, I'm sorry, I hate to tell you, but if I am not in a way kind of like not nice to you, I probably don't really fucking like you. I'm working on it though. But we would take it to the extreme, you know, and I have to, you know, just because something was done to me does not mean that I have to do it to somebody else. But the thing is, I found that passion and I found that gratitude and I wanted to use the language and I wanted to influence, you know, I was going to change the fucking world of Narcotics Anonymous. I needed to be the one to let these people know. But the thing is, just because I had the knowledge and my intentions were good, at the time, I did not have the capabilities of doing that in a loving and caring way. And that carries in far beyond trying to articulate the clarity statement. That went into every area of my life. I would try to give people a suggestion or to tell them, take their inventory, basically, if you want to call it, you know. And I was incapable of doing that in a loving and caring way. And it was only through working steps, you know, and hanging around for a while that I'm slowly finding the way to do that, getting rid of that idea of brutal honesty, because honesty is a spiritual principle, but brutal is not. So there is no such thing as brutal honesty. Today I try to strive for loving honesty, and more importantly, I don't fucking need to go in and tell anybody. If I have a sponsee who's been there a minute and we start working steps, I will probably guide them in this direction. But any newcomer or old timer that comes into a meeting and uses the wrong language, I don't have to correct them today. Attraction rather than promotion. I can promise you one thing. I will use the language of Narcotics Anonymous because I owe that to the fellowship that saved my life. You know, and hopefully that can be an example for somebody. You know, and if it's not, I'm practicing that first tradition on a personal level, right? Integrity. I'm doing what's right for the sake of doing what's right, not because I have to have y'all change. You know? Fuck, how much time I got?
An hour.
Son of a bitch. Hey, so I can possibly answer some questions if anybody has any, but also there's some guys in here who could probably give you a lot more information or meaning behind the clarity statement. So I'll answer your question if anybody has one, and then I'll let some people come up and share their experience with the clarity statement. If that works for y'all.
And if it don't work for us.
Yeah. And Ryan will be first, so really nobody else will have to talk. anybody have any questions for me? Perfect. Thank y'all. Ryan?
Good job, Chase. I'm Ryan, I'm an addict. Me and Chad were talking down there in the restaurant a while ago about where we was going to come to, you know. And I said, I could use both of them, but I got some feelings about this. And I can't exchange to express them. I was in a meeting here just a few weeks ago, and I'm not going to tell you where it was. It wasn't my home group. And the person chairing the meeting has been around here for probably 20 years. And I don't know if he does the other fellowship or not. He's not somebody I know well. He's not in my sponsorship family. But, you know, they read the clarity statement. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing clear about the fucking clarity statement. When somebody new hears that read, they have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Right.
We need to do something about that. We need to rewrite the damn thing where it says what it means in plain English. The guy chairing the meeting proceeded to talk about being clean and sober for drugs and alcohol. And he's got 8 or 10 years clean. It just got away with me. I expect that from new people. They parrot what they hear in treatment, and that's okay, you know, and they get a chance to. I'm not black belt NA like I used to be, and that's a good thing. But I don't need to accept shit that ain't acceptable. And I said something, and I don't know what I said, but I guarantee you it was better than what I'd have said 10 or 20 years ago. And so that's progress too. But I mean, I don't understand how a person can be here that long and still be clean and sober. I'm from drugs and alcohol, you know. The only drug we mentioned by name in here is alcohol. Well, not in the front of the book, as JW pointed out. We do talk about marijuana in the back of the book. But it just... and I don't know why it affects me like that. You know, I've got an old friend named Grover, and we grew up in here together. And he's got a year or so clean longer than me. And we used to have this relationship with the Rubber Workers Union. They have their meeting facilities over in Madison in the North Alabama area. You used it probably once a month, didn't we, Damon? We was in and out of there all the time. And he talked over there at some fundraiser one night, and we're a couple hundred people there, and he gets up and says, "My name's Grover, and I'm an addict and an alcoholic and a Republican and a welder and a pretty good shot both ways of looking at it, and a Harley rider." And he just went on and on for about 2 minutes of bullshit. And he said, "Everything I told you after the word addict to describe myself gave you a reason to quit fucking listening to me. And I don't need to do that." And that was probably about as effective a clarity statement as you can get. But you can't do that all the time. But I'm serious. I don't think I can do that, but I think some of us need to sit down and think about rewriting what we read and call as a clarity statement, because I don't think it's effective. I think it's kinder, gentler NA. And I, you know, the NA I got it clean in wasn't the kinder and gentler NA. You know, I remember quite vividly sitting in a meeting across the table from this guy, and I was reparroting some treatment speak shit that I'd heard, and I thought it sounded pretty damn good, you know. And he said, he looked me in the eye and says, "I think you need to sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up, because you ain't got nothing to share but the goddamn disease. If we want to know about getting high, we'll call on you. If we want to know about recovery, we'll let somebody talk about it that knows what the hell they're talking about." I told him a sponsor, Terry, about it. He said, "I'd have left and I'd have never come back." Right. Well, I didn't, you know, and I'm still here, and he's got 42 years clean today. You know, in June he'll have 43. He killed me a doe this year, and I got it in my freezer. He's one of the people that raised me in this program, and he loved me enough to be honest with me. And I agree with what, you know, brutal honesty ain't about honesty, it's about brutality. And I try not to do that today. But, you know, I'm... old habits are hard to break. Sarcasm. We were talking about that. We can, I got a PhD in that shit, man. And, it's hard to have a degree in something and not use it, you know. But I was in Josh's workshop yesterday, and boy, he did a great job with that thing. And he started off on something about predecessors, and he decided not to go there. And I've got feelings about that. You know, the guy that really explained that word to me, but he didn't introduce it to me, was a guy named Greg Pierce. And he, for my money, was kind of a consummate service junkie. He did everything that you can do, and he wrote the chapter on the traditions in the basic text. It's not the 12 traditions. So he wrote that word where it appears in there. So I got to ask him what it meant, you know. And every time I've heard it used since the time I've been clean, it's about people that were here at Narcotics Anonymous before me. The only place that I know of where it appears in NA literature is in that reading that we do on the traditions. And it don't mean that at all. It's talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. And if that gets your panties in a wad, call your sponsor. You know, but that's what it means. And I don't know. I think we could do a better job of being clear about what we're trying to say with a clarity statement. You know, I don't beat new people over the head anymore. I didn't beat anybody over the head the other day, but they could tell I had my panties in a wad. I don't really regret that. And if it hurt his feelings, I don't really too much regret that either. And I don't know if that makes me a bad person. Maybe he needed his goddamn feelings hurt. You know, and I love this guy. But God bless America. You know, respect the house you're in. And I was kind of taught that early on. Last time I went to an AA, no, the next to the last time I went to an AA meeting was Don Euler talked at Sheffield at AA. And they asked me to get up and read. So I had to say, my name's Ryan, and I'm an and it just liked to gag me up. But I did it, and like I was supposed to. And it took me about 30 years before I could get back to going back to another. And my buddy Andy, the guy that told me I needed to sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up, they asked him to talk in some little town out in the, I can't even remember where it was here, a couple of years ago, and I went to hear him do that. So, that's my AA experience, but anyway, I'm grateful to be here today, but clean and sober. I love y'all.
I'm D. I'm an addict. I do have some experience on the clarity statement. I moved from a town where the clarity statement was just part of what we did and what we discussed, and it's an easy conversation. I moved to another town where I've got some notes on this, actually. Let me pull that up. Because I moved to a town where this was not really discussed. You know, it was called cross-contamination. Yeah, because see, I asked some questions, and at first I want to tell them what the fuck they were doing wrong, you know, but I was wrong. And so I went in to be brutally honest, and before I did it, I had a discussion with my sponsor and some other people I trusted, and I came to realize, and I agree, that brutality has no place in my program. So I went and had a discussion with some people who had been there for a while about what's going on, why. You know, I wanted to know. And they use those words like cross-contamination and hybridization. And I was like, I was taught to learn about my definitions because I didn't know what the hell I was talking about myself or anybody else until I started defining words. And I said, is contamination a good word? They're like, no. I said, so we have an issue here? Maybe we need to talk about it? And turned out this was not a problem. It was an opportunity to have an intimate conversation after meetings. And that's what we've been doing. After meetings, we don't beat it anybody's head. And there's a few of us that have started talking about it, and so we start doing something about it. And we start having conversations with people. I talked to my sponsees, and see, I don't think that they were doing anything wrong. It was what they were taught and what they knew. And it was just standard in their program. But the language that we use is really important to me. And so when I started talking that to other people, they started looking at their language. And so next week, we're actually having a vote about incorporating the clarity statement in our home group. And so that's my experience on it. That's how it worked for me. That's all I got.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Addict named Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Chase, you killed it, man. Killed it. Oh, you know, I don't know when this clarity statement thing all came into effect. I got a cassette in my 98 Silverado right now of Bill Brooks, who introduces himself as a junkie and a juicer. Okay? I respect the language. Thank God for a guy from Florence. I was in treatment over there one time, and he explained it to me before I ever went to a meeting, that respect the room that you're in. And that was in the middle of the, some of y'all in North Alabama remember the ANDA movement. You know, they had the t-shirts with the, you know, the circle and the no ANDAs. And we went to a meeting, and there was 12 of us in the druggy buggy. And we went to a meeting in Florence, and they would open the meeting, do the readings, and then when the treatment center was there, they would go around the room, and everybody would introduce herself. Hey, I'm Bobby Joe. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. And all the home group members hollered, "Hey, Anda."
"I'm Sally Sue. I'm an alcoholic and an addict."
"Hey, Anda." "Well, I'm a little slow, okay?" So it took me about 3 times to catch on to what they were saying. And in treatment, I thought, what a bunch of egotistical assholes. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, seriously, I used to be that guy. I did. As I was looking around the room at some of my old sponsees, that Chad's about the only one I see that can remember when I was that guy. Thank God for sponsorship and the steps and the traditions. Because I was that asshole that would, I'm still an asshole, but I would call you out on your shit in the middle of a meeting, and but I learned some spiritual principles with time, and I learned finally to respect the room that I was in. And the main thing that simplified it for me, yes, we lead by example, and I'm real strong on sponsorship, and I think that's where that lies, in sponsorship, because most of the time the people that are sharing that they're alcoholics and addicts and they're clean and sober 14 times during the meeting, used to, God, I couldn't stand this. I ain't gonna lie, it still kind of gets to me when somebody shares, you know, like 5 times during their share that they've been sober in their sobriety. But that's not my business. What my business is to be kind and loving and patient and tolerant. Okay? And I have learned, after a while, yeah, I'll catch you one-on-one and say, ain't you been coming around long enough just to be clean? And then try to explain to them. But usually those are the people that don't have a sponsor. The main thing I wanted to share, because this simplified it so, I mean, it dumbed it down so good for me. And I heard a preacher share this one time. We can't clean our fish before we got them caught. Come on,
girls. Come on, girls.
Come on. Thank you.
Addict Don.
What's up, Don?
I almost had a question to put in the ask it basket, and this meeting clears that up where I don't have to participate, where I don't have to drop that in the ballot box. Excuse the term. Okay, so when in Rome, do as Romans. We have a clarity statement. We have the biggest thing that, and I cannot stand the word I, because this is we. But it hurts my heart for us to have so much animosity and strife in our message. I want to agree with myself that I need to carry, there's that thingy, the message of love and belonging, and please stay, welcome home, because the world's rough enough as it is. We're doing good just to walk. If we ever walk in the freaking door, That's the miracle. Because it's the hardest thing in the world I could ever do was to admit to myself that I had a problem. Besides, like the text says, running out. I need to... This is my family. So, how can I love somebody like y'all love me? I need to step back and remember that we're all human beings. And we need each other. There's unity. Again, thank you again for sharing the traditions. They're there for a reason. And the spiritual principle. Thank goodness this is a spiritual program. Because all the A's and B's and P's and Q's and all the hokey pokey and all this, I'm not into that. The energy that we carry is attraction. So I, as an addict, need to remember that we are all in this together, and I need y'all. So today, anyway, thank you for what y'all do. Thank you, Chase. I could not freaking stand you when you rolled in. You know why? Because I couldn't stand me. Today I'm learning to love me some more. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and happy Saturday.
I guess I'm Rob. I'm an addict.
Hey, Rob.
I know I got clean, especially when all this stuff really started. And I guess there's two stories, but it was a very, I'd say, violent time in NA. At least where I was at over this stuff. I had about 2 weeks clean. This guy from Philly wound up being, I was on a little vacation town, just got, well, not 2 weeks clean, but 2 weeks out of rehab. And a guy from Philly came down to vacation where the town where I was at. And yes, I was a addict and alcoholic because I didn't know no better. I still had to separate the two, because society out there, especially when I was growing up, separated them. And I had to keep reminding myself alcohol is a drug. But the guy from Philly came down and tore up one side of me down the other. No, not very nice. I had no clue. I was a little 17-year-old kid and just got 2 weeks out of rehab. Couple things I remember. Oh, I'm not cross addicted. I'm an addict. I'm not addicted to crosses. I don't suffer from Dilaudism, marijuanaism, all this other stuff and this and that. But I listened to that and Terry, it's like, okay, I understood. Yes, I am an addict. That's all I am. I'm addicted. I suffer from the disease of addiction. But it was the people in the rooms, the ones I've been going to the meetings with for the past 2 weeks, who after this guy said his spiel and left, they're the ones who come up to me afterwards and hug me, tell me it's okay. And that's, I know it, like someone else says, like, it could have scared me away from this program. But it was the other people in the program, the unconditional love I felt from the other people here that kept me coming back. Now, I still ran in, being I was from that area, so I moved around and wound up being in an area a little bit south of Philly. And there's some meetings up in there. Someone said, no ENDA. We have one for addicts only, no ENDA. They started their own area up there. But we had people coming down to our meetings, which, yeah, I helped give rides back home because it was violent. There was tables and chairs and everything else being broken at these meetings of people fighting. And these other people were coming, they wanted recovery. And the only way they could get it was get out of there down to where we're at. And the train stopped running by the time our meetings finished. So we were giving them rides back into Philly. But the one thing I learned from it all, well, I wound up probably the next year going up to those meetings, and it was a strong NA message. Yes, they told you in the beginning, well, I forget if they told me or one of the guys that went there told me, okay, you don't want to mess up what you're saying or whatever. It's like, you see them guys standing over there, they're like 6'6", with 2 or 3 years clean and anger issues. They're the bouncers at this meeting. And they were there, it's like, okay, yeah, you mentioned certain words, they're going to cut you off. You try mentioning it again, one of them's going to come have a talk with you. But I was walking out, we parked, it was at a church, and we parked right along that side of the road next to the church. And you look across the street, and there's the dealers, the crack dealers, and all this other stuff all the way around. And these guys, their bouncers, are outside walking around making sure that people are getting into the meetings without the dealers bothering them. I said, okay, yeah, they're fighting for their recovery up in there. I kind of understood what some of it was about. And the other part that was going on back then, we had one guy, when I was living up there, he had 7 years. We considered him God. Because after that, there was no, people disappeared. And yeah, some people didn't like the fact that they disappeared. Yeah, some of them just stopped coming to AA or NA. Some of them went to another fellowship because, oh, there's no clean time here in NA. Luckily, that has changed now. But for me, my home group's got, I won't say the clarity statement, but a clarity statement. And for me, that's one thing that's like, we're not here to beat each other up. This has got to be done in a loving, caring way. And if we don't feel what's there is loving, caring way, we're going to change it. And we're going to write our own to be in that loving, caring way of helping each other. I know for me, it's like, people used to go around different meetings and they'd share about the clarity statement, why we do this, and it's like, why are we doing this in a meeting? And a lot of that, because I'd sit there and it's okay, the whole meeting is about that. It's like, how is this helping the guy who doesn't want to use today? And we forgot about that. I know my home group at the time up there was, yeah, some of them guys come up there in my home group and they're like, no, you guys are a lost cause. We ain't even gonna bother coming up to your meeting anyway. That's a lost cause, they ain't gonna be there. But yes, there's still some of us that went up there. And what I found for me is sharing a clear NA message. If I'm using the NA language, I'm speaking the stuff that is in our text, because that's where the language comes from. It was around before this clarity statement came out. It's written in our text, how we talk. And I'm assuming some of them people knew what they were doing and they did it on purpose. But it's like, for me, it's like, I need to be that example. Don't have to beat anyone over the head with a baseball bat and tell them they're doing it wrong. I just need to be talking it right. And hopefully they'll start following by example. I guess with that, that's all I have to share.
Thank you.